For our scripture reading this morning, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And we can trust in the living God because he is trustworthy. He is faithful. And today we're looking at trust. To believe is to trust. Back in 1866, a tightrope walker named Blondin was going to put on a public performance as a line was stretched across the Niagara Falls. 1,000 feet, or something like 310 meters, above the whirlpool. Now, I've seen that whirlpool, and it's gigantic. It's deadly. You get caught in that, and you're done. It sucks you down deep. How deep? Probably no one knows. In any event, Blondin was going to make this trek across that tightrope. And the crowd was there to cheer him on. He walked across, as he had done several times. And then he retrieved a wheelbarrow, and he came back pushing the wheelbarrow across in front of him. And then he announced to the crowd, "Who believes that I can push a person in the wheelbarrow across the falls?" Oh, they all said, "Yes, yes, 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 we believe you can do that." "Okay, who will volunteer?" Nobody raised a hand. They were afraid to. "Not me." Well, one little boy said, "I'll do it." Oh, they all gasped. He is willing to sit in the wheelbarrow as Blondin pushes him across the Niagara Falls. So he got in, and Mr. Blondin effortlessly, well, maybe, pushed him across the falls. And they all cheered. A reporter came up to that little boy and said, "You were so courageous." He said, no, I wasn't courageous. I just trusted Mr. Blondin. You see, he's my father." Oh, yes. There is pure trust in your father because you know he will not let you down. Back in Psalm 118, we have two verses, verses 8 and 9, which are quite similar. "It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man." The next verse says, "It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes." You can trust the Lord. Can you trust man? Well, Blondin's son did. He knew personally his father. Do you know personally your father in heaven? Do you have a personal relationship with him? If you do, you should be able to trust him totally. I found it interesting that the words in the Bible to believe and to trust and to have faith are all from the same word. The same root word, it varies in suffix, but it's pistis or pistos or pisteo. They all mean the same thing. God is faithful. There's the same root word. He can be trusted. I recall years ago back in Adelaide, I knew a man named Ted, a rather ruthless individual, but I knew him, and he had a grandson named Craig. Well, it so happened that this day Craig was up on a wall, stuck. Didn't know how to get down. He climbed up okay, but he couldn't get down. So Ted comes along and says, "Little Craig, jump and I'll catch you." "Are you sure?" "Yes, yes, yes. I'm your grandfather." Well, reluctantly, Craig jumped. His grandfather stepped back and allowed him to fall on the ground. And he said, "Young man, let that be a lesson to you. Never trust anyone." Well, that didn't help Craig any, and it revealed the truth on Ted's nature. Who can you trust? Well, the unsaved person doesn't have much choice, does he, to trust fellow man, whether it be government or friend or relative. Yet when a person gets in a tight spot, what does he do? He prays. Rather reminds me of Acts chapter 17, verse 23, where the Athenians had a shrine to an unknown god. And when people say, "Let's pray about that," who are they praying to? As unsaved, they have no one to pray for or pray to. An unknown god. They don't know to whom they're praying. Well, we trust the one who we know is able. And I think right away of Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, unto him be glory." I thought of that word glory. Why does Paul use that term just in the same passage? To him be glory. That means we acknowledge. We know he is great. We know he is sovereign. We know he is loving. We know he is caring, compassionate, and all of that. He's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. And then that same God who is able lives in the believer's heart. For in Philippians 2 verse 13, it's God who is in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, there's the trustworthiness. We can trust him because he is able. He will see us through. Just as Paul experienced that back in our text in 2 Corinthians. He delivered us, he delivers us, and we trust that he will yet deliver us. It doesn't depend on our faith. How can you measure one's faith? How can you measure one's love? It's a spiritual thing. It's immeasurable. That trust does not depend upon ours. It depends upon him. In whom are you trusting? Who is faithful? Remember that song we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father"? He is faithful. And then the glory of it all is in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me." What is this deliverance he's talking about? We had that verse in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. He delivers us. He has delivered us. He will deliver us. We can trust in him because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8, verse 37. Now, we did quote that verse in Philippians 2:13. "For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure." But did you notice the verse before? Philippians 2 and verse 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." We aren't doing the working. We're trusting him. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. We are to demonstrate our trust in him by how we live. Constantly say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now we go back to the prayer of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane for that quotation. But they said this of Paul as well in Acts when they said, "The will of the Lord be done." Oh, would it be right? Would it be wonderful if you and I can say, "His will, not mine. His mind, not mine." Even before Saul of Tarsus was saved, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he said, "What wouldst thou have me to do? I can't do it. I've come to the end of my tether. Now, what would you have me do?" That's trust. He believed that this Lord he was talking to was Jesus of Nazareth, whom he had persecuted. But now he knew he was for real. And I wonder if you and I have come to that place to know of a certainty that Jesus Christ is real? And if he is, Lord, what would you have me to do? When we think of that word faith and faithfulness, I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It's required in a steward, and every believer is a steward by the grace of God. It is required of a steward that a man be found, and what's the word? Faithful. Full of faith, full of trust. We trust in the living God. Well, one cannot measure faith. It depends on the one you trust. Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life? Oh, you say, I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't understand. He's immortal. He's invisible, as the hymn says. During the Second World War in London, the Germans had bombed the city, and in so doing, they left a number of craters in the ground where the bomb struck. The siren sounded. Another raid was coming. Father and son were out in the open. The father spotted a crater, and he jumped down into the crater to have some protection from the coming air raid. His son was up on top, and he said, "Son, jump in. I'm afraid. I'm here. I'll catch you. I can't see you, but I can see you." And with those words, the son jumped into a seeming abyss. His father was there and caught him. All was well, and they lived to tell the tale. To jump into an unknown, unseeable situation, knowing that God is there, and he is faithful, and we can trust in him. A pastor years ago said this, and I remember. What is faith? Faith is to step out in seeming space and find a rock. This acrostic of faith is so precious to me. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith and trust go together. If you believe, if you really believe, you're going to trust. So Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things. No, he goes on, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I contrast the Old Testament with the New, and I find where God said through Joshua, be strong, and of good courage, be not afraid, for I am with you. Whithersoever thou goest, I'm with you, so be strong. I'll take care of you. Paul didn't say that. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because he lives in us. He's not with us only. He is in us. What's that verse say? God is in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. Let it be shown as you trust in the living God. Are you trusting him or fellow man or your own ability? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Claim it. Live it, experience it, and his grace is sufficient for our needs. Amen.